Come on, let's give it up for Garth Brooks, a.k.a. Marty Barrow. Amen? Amen. You know, when I was preparing for this weekend, I was inspired by the songwriter of this famous now, it's a now famous song that Garth sung. Garth didn't write it, but he wrote it with the premise that you and I, that the idea is that, you know, life is a dance, and you got to be willing to dance. You got to be willing just to do it, and that you and I cannot control the outcome. We don't know necessarily what's ahead, and if we did, we would try to avoid maybe the unknowns, but we would miss out on the adventure of the dance. And you think about the life of faith. Now, if you don't know Jesus, receive Jesus today. If you're far from him, come back to him. Wherever you're at in your faith today, in God, just know that this song speaks so much to us. Jesus did his dance. And then I believe all of us have a dance too. And this message speaks to me, and I pray it speaks to you. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, both in person and online, please turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I love these verses. We're almost to the end, and these verses were almost to the end of the book of Hebrews. We're coming off the famous chapter 11, which lists over 20 heroes of the faith, all flawed and yet heroes of our faith. And then he starts chapter 12 in verse 1 by saying, after verse 11 mentioned all these people, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith," notice the language, "let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this," notice, "by keeping our eyes on who?"
Jesus.
On who?
Jesus.
Notice he says the champion. Everyone say the champ. I love that, who initiates and perfects our faith. But notice this, because of the joy awaiting him. What was the joy? This doesn't make any sense. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. And I think about the message of this song, and the idea that you and I have the chance every day to live in the moment, to love in the moment, and to be in the moment. But if you're like me, isn't that easier said than done? Amen. You know, I heard a great leader say this: you can have growth or control, but you can't have both. You can have growth or control, but you can't have both. When you think of our lives up to this point, young or old, no matter our status of life, all of us can say we didn't see something come, and then we had to go through it. We didn't see that happening, and yet we went through it. And if you think about it, if we would know in advance all those things, we would do everything in our power, most of us, to avoid any type of pain, to avoid any type of rough moments or tough moments. We would do anything in our power to avoid any of that and just have a smooth life where everything is easy. We get everything we want, and it all fits into place. Wouldn't that just be wonderful? And how many know that's not real? So you and I can have growth or control, but you and I cannot have both. Jesus, this is marvelous to me. Please notice and lean in here a little bit with these verses, because notice if you think about the song today of the dance, you think about this message, think about what Jesus did for you and for me. The idea of a dance of this song, of being willing just to live life in the will of God and walk it out, and what comes, but you keep on going and you're willing to do it. Jesus, here in our scriptures, he did the dance. He did his dance. He did the will of God for his life. So much so, in verse 2 and verse 3, the Bible said that his dance was joy to him. But this doesn't make any sense, because his joy was he endured the shame of the cross. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. In this room and online, he endured the cross. He disregarded its shame. He took the hostility of sinful people. And then even more so, he took on your sin and he took on my sin. If you read in the scriptures in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that chronicle the crucifixion, and crucifixion was a common way of killing criminals at that time. It was the worst death. They still say it's the worst way to die. It's basically a slow, suffocating death. And the Bible says that when he was on the cross, he screamed out, "Father, why are you forsaking me?" And because he became sin, please just stay with me, he became sin. Any gross, horrible, horrific, shameful sin he became so that you and I could be clean. This was the dance that was given to Jesus. You and I, this blows my mind that he was willing to do this dance for you and for me. Such an imperfect person, flawed person, still working it out, still not getting it right every day. Is anyone else with me? And he willingly did the dance, and really some ways, knowing what you and I would do against him. Knowing that we would at some point say, "I don't want this God, I'm going to do it my way." And he died naked so that you and I could have him forever. Think about the why for Jesus. He danced, he did his dance so we could have him forever. He died so we could live. He loved so that we could be accepted. He came so that we could go to him. He lives so that we can live too. And what's powerful is he gave up control. Even if you studied the scriptures here of this last 12 hours of his life, he said, "I could call a legion of angels to come deliver me. But I give up control and I choose growth. I choose to die. I choose to do the dance so that, as it is right now, 2 billion people call him Lord." So it went from one person to spreading through the Holy Spirit to 2 billion people. He chose growth by being willing to do the dance. I want to ask you today, this is a deep, message, because in our life, when you think about the dance of life, so many things tend to hold us back. And yet we see the example of Jesus that was willing to let it go and just do it according to what he was called to do. I want to ask you in this room and online today, where are you with Jesus? How have you wrestled with this character in human history? Some say he was a prophet. Some say a teacher. Some say he revolutionized morals, and specific to women and children. Before him, both of those individuals were totally treated with no respect. He changed the paradigm. If you study history, even in natural history, he changed the paradigm of the treatment of women and children. Some people say this, some people say that, but is he God to you? Is he Lord to you? Is he Messiah, the Savior, the light of the world, the glory of God, the manifestation of God? Is he the miracle worker, the way maker? Is he the wonder worker? Is he your soon and coming King? Is he your healer? Is he your deliverer? All of us have to answer to Jesus. It's funny that all religions acknowledge him, but they demonize him. They minimize him. But I want to say this boldly, and this may sound different to some of you, but I want to say this with confidence. There's only one man who died for you and me. There's only one man who could pay the price. There's only one man who lived a sinless life, who his blood, we don't understand it in human terms. And even in Western world, it's so barbaric to us. But this wasn't set in America. This was set in another, part of the world. It was a whole other culture. But it was his blood that washed us white as snow. And it was only one man that could be raised from the dead. Jesus said, "You will bury me and I will raise myself up," man. He's an awesome God, isn't he? And then he ascended back into heaven and the Holy Spirit came. There's only one way to heaven. This may sound old-fashioned to you, but hear me. Don't believe this lie. Because there's only one way to heaven. Because there's only one person who died for the world, and that is Jesus. That's not being narrow-minded. That's not being bigoted, and it's not being mean. It's being truthful today. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus is the way. Jesus is who we worship. Jesus is who we adore. And he did this dance. He did this dance, really, in some ways, barbaric, horrific dance for you and for me. That was his dance. His dance was all that and more. Have his people represented him to the fullest at times? No. Has his people represented the kingdom of God correctly throughout the ages fully? No. Absolutely not. So many errors and omissions along the way. But that doesn't, people's imperfections of representing Jesus does not take away from Jesus. He's still Jesus all by himself. And hear me today. He's the greatest person in human history, and he's coming back for you and for me. Come on, give this great Jesus a great praise real quick. He deserves a little praise break from us today. He did the dance for you and for me. That's his dance, but then what's our dance? That's his dance. What's our dance? We could preach, for years on this from, so many different verses. But for these verses, notice our dance specifically in verse 1 and verse 3 is that you and I would be willing to strip off every weight that weighs us down. That you and I would strip off, the writer says, that you and I would strip off the sin that easily trips us up. Here is good gospel news in the middle of September, and it's starting to get cold outside, right? Every one of us in this room and online has a sin that easily trips us up. No one is exempt from this. And it's different for different people. It's totally different for all of us. I don't care how spiritual and how mature we feel we are, all of us are two steps away from totally destroying our lives. And you and I have to remember that the Apostle Paul, I believe he wrote this, who knows if he did or not, it doesn't matter. The book of Hebrews is an awesome letter. Read it sometime, please, if you haven't. But the truth is that all of us have sin that can easily trip us up if we don't cast it off. And that is not, to me, a one-time thing. Sometimes that's an everyday thing, multiple times in one day. Being willing to say, you know what, Jesus, you did your dance for me. I'm going to do my dance for you. But it's a power issue. It's a control issue. You and I can have control or growth, but you and I cannot have both. You and I have growth by, I believe, letting go in some ways of our life and giving it to God and living with an open heart, living to chance, if you will, by faith, loving freely, giving freely. That's how we grow. We don't grow by control, controlling everything and mitigating all risk and mitigating all the things and just control. That is not a way to grow. We grow by living for God, but not only living for God, we grow by opening our heart. For many of us, I would say it this way, opening our heart again because we've been hurt. Will we do our dance? And this writer says to strip off every weight, strip off the sin that easily trips us up. And then he says, run with endurance the race. For this message, run the race, do the dance God has given to you and me. Hold nothing back. We know that life is short. The writer said in the book of Psalms, it's but a vapor. And yet so many of us struggle. I do this too. We struggle at times. We're holding on so tight. And Jesus let go so big. That's why we're here today. And that's why you're watching today. And even if you don't know Jesus, it's because he's drawing you into him. What are some of those weights? So many of them. Maybe here's a few. Maybe it's anger. Being critical all the time. Lust. Unbridled lust. Cynicism, holding grudges, gossiping, having unforgiveness, lying, hate, self-image issues, jealousy, religion in itself in a bad way, being offended all the time or right now, living in fear. I mean, it just keeps going, doesn't it? Let's stop there before we get depressed. And the writer says to cast off those weights. And he's saying to cast them off. But how? How do we cast them off? That's hard to do, isn't it? If you're like me, I'm like, how? I'm trying to cast off the weight. As you can see, I'm so strong and I have huge muscles. I'm trying to cast them off. But how do we do it? Well, the writer tells us. In these same three verses, he says, look to Jesus. Look to who, folks? Come on. Look to who? Look to who? Look to who? And then he says, the champion of your faith. I love that. He's the champ today. He's the champion of our faith. One version says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. So he's writing our story for us. It's our job to say, you know what? You're the creator. I'm not. I yield my life to you. I am willing to do the dance for you because you did your dance for me. He did the dance first. Remember in junior high or high school when we had school dances? Remember that back in the day? And everyone was afraid to get on the dance floor? And everyone was standing on the sideline acting cool? You're talking about a girl and no one, you know, would do it. And then there was some, you know, goofy person to go on the dance floor and try to dance. Everyone would laugh at them. But they had the courage to go do it. Everyone was apprehensive. You and I, similarly, can be on the sidelines and say, I don't know. How will I look? I don't know. What if I really give up what I want for what God wants? Man, I don't know. And do I have to forgive that person? I don't know. I have to, you know, he's asking me to do my money right and to tithe. I don't know. He's asking me to worship him no matter what. I don't know about this. He's asking me to love him and give him my life. I don't know. But folks, wait a minute. When we were on the sideline, maybe we're there today, he's been on the dance floor going first, saying, I look the fool for you first, because I died naked on a cross and was beaten, marred more than any man. I've already done it. I took the first step. I made myself a fool so that you could come into the kingdom. So he's asking us, will we do the dance? And how? We look to Jesus. And this is so challenging. If you don't know Christ, come to him today. If you have come to Christ, this is a challenge. After we come to Jesus, then the challenge becomes keeping our eyes on Jesus. I recently preached on just two things. Love God, love people. That's a hard thing to do. Just two things. That's a hard thing. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, and more Jesus. And there's a lot of debate right now. And I understand the idea of how a white Jesus has been used to invoke a supremacist idea. No question about it. I mean, I get it. I know the history. I understand it. But I'm so hungry for Jesus. Hear me today. I so need Jesus. I am such a broken person. I don't care if Jesus is black. I don't care if he's brown. I don't care if he's Asian. I don't care if he's lily white. I just need Jesus in my heart because I need a savior. I need a healer. I understand the idea that certain people try to teach, but Jesus is not that. He is God. And I'm so hungry for him, I don't care. I'm going to worship him because I need him. And so he's saying to look to Jesus, and we look to Jesus in so many ways. For practicality, we look to Jesus by obviously reading the scriptures every day. We look to Jesus by going to church, being a part of a local church, so important. We look to Jesus by praying every day. Yes, we can look to Jesus by being in a group and having a support system and getting to know people, investing, as you heard Pastor Candace, invest not only with money, but invest your time and your heart. All of this is our ways that we keep our eyes on Jesus. Please do them today if you're not. If you are, keep doing them. Because have you noticed it's easy for us to say, Jesus, you can have this part of me, but you can't have this part of me. It's easy for us to say, you know what, I give you this, but I don't give you this. It's easy for us to say, you know, I give you my soul for eternity, but my mind and my heart I'm going to keep to myself. And I want to, You know, I want to manage my own mind. I want to manage my own heart. Thank you for saving me. I'm going to go to heaven. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. But I would like to have my mind and my heart to myself. I know none of us do that in here, but I'm just saying. It's easy, isn't it? And then we have this idea of risk. There's been studies done that right now in our country, maybe around the world, people are afraid of risk, mostly afraid of commitment. It's interesting. But you know, I've heard this, that the definition of faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Faith is risk, folks. Getting married is a risk. Going to a college is a risk. Having kids is a risk. Serving God is a risk. Starting a business is a risk. Loving others is a risk. Living with an open heart is a risk. It's all a risk. You and I have to decide, is it going to be control or growth? And he did his dance, will I do my dance? And you can't say, well, I'm afraid of risk. I don't want to get hurt. That's not how you live to the fullest. William Wallace, a figure of history, this is a true statement he actually said to free his people in Scotland. He said, every man dies, but only few truly live. And Jesus said that. To live, we die. To receive, we give. To be strong, we become weak. It doesn't make sense to our Western world, but it's the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I want to live. I want to make my life count, and it counts not by mitigating everything and controlling everything. It counts by loving freely, giving freely, moving freely, doing the dance God has done for us. In the song, he said, I could have missed the pain. I could have missed the pain, but I would have had to miss the dance. And it's the dance that makes life worth living. It's the dance that makes it fun, folks. It's the dance. It's the courageous part of us that makes it worth something. And Jesus did it for us, and we can do it for him. Look to Jesus. In closing, look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Notice in our verses, he says, if we do this, if we look to Jesus, the champion, the very end of these verses, verse 3, he says, we won't become weary. And we won't give up. Doing our dance, keeping our eyes on Jesus, moving forward, we won't become weary. What an amazing promise. And we won't give up. If we're giving up, maybe it's because we're not looking to Jesus fully. Our eyes are distracted. I think about the story today I want to share to bring this home to us. This is real for our community. I think about when someone does the dance for God, says yes to God, say, God, you did a dance for me, I'm going to do a dance for you. I'll look a fool for you because you looked a fool for me. I think about our staff. I think about all the really the great people in our church that help even do what we're doing right now. Thank you so much. Give them a hand. Thank you, media team. Thank you, ushers, dream team, city kids, worship, everything. Going around the world right now as you're watching online, we're honored to have you today, watching from Africa and Indonesia, all of it. It's just amazing. It blows my mind. People are a part of our church in Seattle and Nebraska and New York City. So we're all over the place. It's amazing. And I think about Cameron and Hillary, our youth pastors, Pastors Cam, Pastor Hillary. I remember talking to them a few times as they were, I think, like all of us, wrestling with, will we do the dance to be youth pastors? And I remember the conversation when they said, yes, we will. And they've done the dance together as a couple ever since. Just this past Wednesday, we had a record attendance in the youth group and 8 teenagers received Jesus. Come on, give it up for that. Big, huge hand for that. Come on, somebody. Isn't that awesome? They're doing a great job. Their team's doing a great job. And when you and I do the dance, it puts us in a position to make a difference beyond what we know. God could use the weaknesses of our soul and impact someone else forever. Back in January, a young lady in our youth group, her family goes to our church, brought her boyfriend. And in the time or two he came in January, before all the craziness hit, right? He raised his hand to receive Jesus. Pastor Kim led him to Jesus. What we didn't know was that about 6 months later, this young boy, his sister, and his mom would be murdered by their father in our city at a neighborhood just about probably 2 minutes away from here on a Sunday morning as they were found at 10 a.m. He was a swimmer. He was beloved. He was 18. And he was taken. But when Cam called me and when he found out who the family was and remembering him, I said to Cam and Hillary, you made a difference. Because that boy's in heaven today with God. And while we don't understand evil, we do understand eternal life. And that boy is in the presence of God. And our church had a part to play in it. And I don't say that to be prideful. I say it humbly. That when you and I say, I'll do the dance for you, God, we may feel insignificant, we may feel messed up, jacked up, we may feel so many different types of ways, but the Holy Spirit can come in a life and take what was messed up and use that messed up situation to be a light for other people to receive hope. And there's a verse in the Bible in a certain version that says, he that does the will of God lives forever. And I don't know about you, but I want to do the dance for God. Even though there was a sad ending to this family's life together, in the idea of a spiritual sense, we know that this young man was saved. He was saved in January in our church. He received God. He didn't deserve it, but he's with God today. And could it be that if you and I will say, God, I give you my heart, I give you my life, I'll do the dance for you because you did the dance for me. And you and I are willing to cast the weights maybe multiple times in a day. And we keep our eyes to Jesus. That's how we do this. Who's to say God can't use us? Not necessarily to thousands or millions or to be famous. Maybe, and maybe not. Maybe just one. Maybe just one. But doing the dance for God, it's the only way to live. I pray today all of us would choose growth. I pray all of us would choose to live freely, love freely, forgive freely, give freely, move freely, that all of us would let go of ourselves at some point and say, God, I give you, you're the creator, you're the maker of me anyway, so I give you what you gave me. What can you do with me? You did so much for me. If I can do just one thing for you, I give you me. How many believe in this Jesus today? Come on. He deserves the praise and the glory and the honor. Come on, he deserves it. He's a mighty God.